So this morning, we're going to continue with the series that we started last week. So as a church, what we do is every month we'll get a sense of what God is speaking to us as a church. And we'll now speak on that topic for maybe about a month. Sometimes, depending on how we sense it, we might go on for 6 weeks on that. So this month, we're looking at something that we've called How Can I Find Rest? How can I find rest? So we looked at the life of a gentleman in the Bible called Abraham. The Bible refers to him as the father of faith. And we were looking at some of his early experiences with God. And what I tried to highlight from that story, I'll just summarize it again, is that it's almost like it's really similar to how we encounter life as well. So there are a lot of similarities and a lot of principles that we can learn from the life of Abraham, bringing it into your own personal context. And I believe that as we examine the things that happened to him, reflect on those things in context in our lives and see what he did, see the feelings that he experienced, and see how, you know, he was able to cope with that, then I believe that God will be able to help us deal with those things as well in our lives. So this morning, I'm going to just go over some of the things from last week, but I'm going to focus on the main section of how do we find rest, this rest that we're talking about. Last week, we looked at one of the ways that we can find rest, but today I'm going to look at three ways, including the one that we looked at last week. But let me just go over, like, summarize again from last week to give it context. So I said, what is rest? I looked at the Google definition of rest, and it termed rest as a time of physical inactivity where you just put your feet up. Maybe you've had a long day, you've exerted your energies and all that, and you're like, man, I'm so tired. Rest is when you put your feet up and you find a way to recuperate your strength. But what we realized and what we said was that that kind of physical rest doesn't necessarily cover everything that pertains to you. And I think I made the joke sometime last week that sometimes you go on holiday and it's like, man, I'm just going to take a break from all these things that have just been stressing me out. And when you get on holiday, you're not doing anything at all. That's when you now get the opportunity to worry about all the things in this world. No distractions. And when you come back from holidays, like, man, I feel like I need another holiday because you haven't really rested. So what we're saying is that physical rest is good, but there's something called soul rest. Soul rest is the rest that actually deals with your heart, your emotions, your innermost being. And you can't get that soul rest from just physical rest. Physical rest helps. So the question now is this: how do we get this soul rest? And not only how do we get this soul rest, how do we get to this place where we are in a perpetual state of rest, where you're rested each time, I mean all the time? And when I mean you're rested all the time, it means you're free of worry, you're free of anxiety in your soul. You're free of all these things that weigh us down. You're free from all these things. So how do we get there and how do we stay there so that at every point in our lives we are rested, we're not stressed out? We'll look at that today. So I said, what is rest? I made the distinction between these two kinds of rest, the physical rest and the soul kind of rest. But we're focusing on the inner rest, the soul kind of rest, because that's the one that's a bit difficult to get. So we looked at that last week. The other thing as well was we looked at the life of Abraham, and we looked at Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 5. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 5, where God appears to Abraham, and Abraham must have been super excited. And God tells him a number of things. God makes a number of promises to him. One of the promises God makes is, I will bless you, I will make you a father of nations. The earth and its inhabitants, I'm paraphrasing, will be blessed through you. So Abraham got, God spoke to him face to face. He didn't just read it somewhere. And he was so excited. It was like, man, he must have been telling everybody, this is what God told me. Wow, my life is, and he must have been super excited. You know, the same way that you and I, we look at what the Bible says about us. Maybe you come to church one of these days and Pastor Benson is saying, oh, God has a good plan for you. Jeremiah 29:11. Pastor Benson is saying, look, God is there. God wants to help you. You're not just on your own. God says, even though you go through the waters, they will not overflow you. He says, if you go through the fire, they will not burn you. And I'm telling you all these things, and you leave here, you're supercharged, you're excited, or maybe you even read that yourself. That God, man, this God that we're serving, I wish I'd been a Christian since, so that, you know, God can really, and you're excited. God has told me so many things that I've been excited about. So many things. So Abraham was excited. Then God says, move to the place that I'm going to show you. What would you do if it was you? It would be like, man, of course I'm going to move. Of course, you know, this is God telling me. My life is so id, if you're from South London. My life is so id. Well, if you're from Bristol, what's the accent? Someone should give me a Bristolian accent, please. My life is lush. My life is lush. Lush. My life is lush. It's like, of course I'm moving. Then Abraham moves and he goes to Genesis chapter 12, verses 10, 8, the first part. And the first thing he encounters brings almost shock to him. And Genesis chapter 12, 10, 8, it says, Abraham moved, and the first thing he found out when he got to where he was going to was that. It says, there was a famine in the land. Now there was a famine in the land. It says now. So maybe there wasn't famine before Abraham went there. He said, oh God, man, I'm going to Morocco as an example. Googled Morocco. And it was like good reviews. 3-star pilot, you see all the people, Trustpilot. You know all the travelers in this church. Good reviews. 5-star, this place, you know. So good reviews of the place that Abraham was like, my goodness, this Canaan place, man, top place. Told his kids, told his wife, babe. So I don't think he called his wife, babe. Hey, Sarah, where we're going now, it's going to be like, you just wait. God's got us covered. He was been telling his wife, you know what, babe, just pack up. Where we're going, God's got a place for us. Then if he's from like Southern California, you go. Sorry, if this is your first time in this church, you have to excuse me. So they'll say, this pastor in this church, what's up with him? You have to excuse me. So if it's from Southern California, it's from Texas. I'm like, oh, Sarah, it's time to go. The Lord has called. I hope our neighbors can hear me. The Lord has called us. Say hallelujah. Am I on Instagram? You see, that's why I do like this online thing. It restricts you off your. Oh, hallelujah, Sarah. Sarah be like, talk, man. Why are you just, Sarah will be like, what's up with, What's up, talk?
Oh, I'm gonna talk now, but before I do that, oh, God's gonna take us to a place filled with milk and honey. Oh, everybody say hallelujah. This church people, I don't know what's wrong with them. They're not flowing with Pastor B this morning. And he must have been really excited. And he gets there. And the Bible says, now, as he got there, famine broke out. And it's like us sometimes, we have expectations from God. And we're excited. Then it appears that suddenly the expectation that we have just turns around, because what we sometimes experience is contrary to what God has told us. So what do? We panic. And that panic is not like the, it might not be like an intense panic at once. It becomes like a gradual panic that just builds and builds and builds. And last week we highlighted that, look, what causes this kind of panic that we'll call unrest? What causes it? And we looked at a number of things. Two things here we looked at. We said, when we hit those kind of situations, then fear and anxiety pops up. Fear and anxiety of how am I going to live in the future? Abraham must have been thinking, man, am I going to starve? In those days, they didn't have Tesco's and Aldi or Sainsbury's, depending on the one you like. Everything that they ate were things that they grew. So they would grow vegetables, they would grow all these things. And when they grew these things, if it was really sunny, there was no rain, that means there was no food. So there was the possibility of starvation. I wonder what his wife must have been saying. Man, when we were before we came to this place, everything was fine. At least we had food to eat. What's happening, Abraham? You know, and all these thoughts begin to, you know, just come to mind. So fear and anxiety sometimes just pop up. Then the other thing we looked at was, which goes a bit deeper, with Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, verse 12. One of the main promises that God made to Abraham was that he was going to become the father of many nations. And Abraham probably thought, man, I'm going to have like 10 kids. Or something, and Abraham was 75. And he was excited. His wife was, I think she was like 10 years younger than he was, 65. So it was like, yeah, God has made me a promise. I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to have a child and all that. And I mentioned that year, the first year passed, second year, third year, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years passed. 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 years passed. Nothing happened. 21, 22, 23. At that point, Abraham just said, well, maybe I didn't really hear God properly. Maybe I was presumptuous. Maybe I just jumped the gun here. Maybe all these things that, you know, this Pastor Benson says sometimes that God loves me and all that. I'm not quite sure about that anymore. Let me take a chill pill. Relax. I don't want to be too overexcited. Let me just back down a bit. Oh, this God will do this. Oh, God. Yeah. Abraham experienced a sense of hopelessness. So he looked left, he looked right, he done everything he possibly knew how to. And it didn't seem like there was a way out for him. So I wonder what he must have been thinking. No way out. It just looked no way out for me in this. I can't
see any way out of this, he said.
So the other thing that causes us this kind of unrest is having a sense of hopelessness that, man, this is just hopeless. I'm just going to live my life one day at a time, see how it goes. And that passion for God fizzles out. Come, we're not like, oh, Pastor Bina says we're having the hour of prayer. Let them go and pray. I'm just going to chill at home and watch Coronation Street. I don't know if they still show it now. I'm just going to relax. I'll turn up on Sunday, you know, and I think that's enough. So Abraham went through that as well. So we see that, look, this rest that we're talking about, the rest that deals with hopelessness, a sense of hopelessness, the rest that deals with anxieties and the fears that we have sometimes, going to Cornwall or Dubai can't help you and I. No. God has a way to deal with this, and we'll look at some of those this morning. And, you know, it is, what they call this thing? God's not really complicated. And the things that he asks us to do are so simple, yet quite challenging to embrace fully. So, what are the things that we can do to address these things in our lives? How can we come to the place of rest for our souls where we are not troubled, even though things around us might be not the way we expect them to be? How can we live life in a manner that is still enjoyable, in a manner that is still joyful, irrespective of what's going on around you and I? God says a number of things, and we'll look at three this morning. The first one we looked at last week is this, Romans chapter 4, verse 18 to 19. Romans chapter 4, verses 18 to 19. And he says something. Abraham got to the point where he drew the line. You and I have to come to the point where we draw the line in all the areas of our lives. And in Romans chapter 4, verse 18 to 19, I'll read. It says, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations. Just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and Sarah's womb was also dead. You know, you and I need to come to the point often where we face the fact, we don't deny the fact, we don't wish the fact away. You stare whatever it is in the face that is bothering you and I, or that bothers you. You sit down and face it. It's like, okay, Abraham looked around him and said, okay, this is the challenge that I have. This is the thing that is mitigating against what God wants for me. So the Bible says he looked at it in the face. He says he faced the fact. When he now faced the fact, he did something else. The Bible says that staring the facts in the face, looking at the current conditions of the things that were mitigating against what God had promised him, he didn't deny it. He didn't wishful think it away. But he did something. He made a decision. And the decision he made was this in verse 18. It says, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. So he came to the point where he said, look, I don't know what's happening, done everything I can do, but I'm going to choose to still believe what God has said concerning me, irrespective of what's going on around me. So it's a decision. Did he fluctuate in that decision? I don't know. Maybe he did. But he got pushed to the wall. And when he got pushed to the wall, he didn't just raise his hands and say, well, I'm finished. What will be, will be. When he got pushed to the wall, he made a decision and said, well, I choose to believe and I choose to hope. However this is going to come to pass, I do not know. It says against hope. Against hope. He believed in hope. So the first thing is this. Coming to God and saying, God, bring me to the place of hope. It's not something you and I can manufacture, but we can make a decision. And as we make that decision, we come to God and say, God, help me. Bring me to the place of hope again. Bring me to the place of trust again. So Abraham came to the place of trust, trusting in God by decision and by asking God, I believe, to help him. You know? It's like sometimes when maybe one is running. Maybe you're running. I don't know how many people did track and field in their school. I think I tried a few times. I was like, man, gasping for it. I think I tried 100 meters or something a few times. At one point, I was like, man, I'll just stay in the sidelines. So someone is running like a race, 500 meters, and they've gone 100 meters, and they hit their toe against a rock. And that toe begins to bleed a bit. But they're ahead. They have 100 meters more to go, and they'll win. That athlete that is in that position has two choices. They can either stop, lose the race, go to the sidelines, or they can say, okay, my toe is bleeding a bit, but I'm going to look at it. Okay, you're bleeding. Ignore it and finish the race. Do you get what I mean? So God is saying there are certain things that you look at, but you have to make the decision to ignore them and ask God to help you to ignore them so that they do not become the focal point of your life. Do you understand? So the first thing is asking God to bring us to the place of hope and trust in Him. Two more things. Another portion of scripture says, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 10. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 10. He says, okay, yeah, let's look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11, the first part. It says, let us therefore make every effort to enter into that rest. So God says that there is an effort that is required from you and I to stay in His rest. There's an effort that's required from us. So the second thing that I believe that God recommends we do is that we fight to stay in His rest. It sounds like a contradiction. How can I fight to stay in rest? Isn't that contradictory? Well, another translation says that we should labor to enter and stay in His rest. And what that begins to tell us is this. If you're going to stay in the rest of God perpetually, it's going to require effort on your part. So you're not like, okay, what effort is required on my part? How can I mean, doesn't God give me this rest automatically? Why do I have, what do I need effort for? Well, if I look at another portion of scripture, still looking at the same point, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 10. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 10, it says, "For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his."
So, bringing the scripture together with the first one. So this one is saying that everyone who enters God's rest, they rest from their own works. They cease from their own works.
The first scripture I read says that we should labor in to enter God's rest. So what that means is this. As you leave here today, and as you draw the line that I'm going to trust God, come fire or rain, I'm going to, you know, and all that. That's fantastic. So, but hang on. When you get home during the week, there are times that you might sit down and like that thought comes back to you and the excitement drains out. It's like, oh, this again. It is at that point that you need to fight and say, yes, again, I'm having these thoughts, I'm thinking about this. And you remove yourself back to the place of trust. You're going, the thought comes, the overwhelming feeling is like, oh, what am I going to do? At that point, you're making every effort. You're fighting to stay in the rest of God. So fighting to stay in the rest of God is when we experience the things that cause us unrest, we draw the line over and over and over again. Say, I'm not going to go into that space anymore. I'm not going to go into that line of thought anymore. I'm not going to worry about this thing anymore. So that is you staying in the place of rest. And it says you cease from your own rest. So what that means is that you're not trying to psych yourself up. No. But you're depending on God. Say, God, bring me back to the place of rest. My responsibility is to refocus, to always draw the line. So it's not like you're psyching yourself up. It says you cease from your own rest, but you labor, make effort to stay in the rest of God. And that's how you do it. Just draw the line. Don't go down that route anymore. And as you do that with time, it becomes easier. Do you understand? That is how you stay in the place of rest, I believe. And for me, there are times that, I mean, I was just thinking to myself the other day that, oh man, how did I get here? What do I mean, how did I get here? And I was thinking to myself that, man, I'm feeling the weight of responsibility on my shoulders. And I was possibly talking about. And I was like, man, at my office where I work, over the past few weeks, there's been like high expectations. There are things I've had to do. Everybody's waiting for me to come up with a strategy to do this and all that. I have to think. There are people that I look after in my office. So I'm like, am I doing pastor's job at church and at work as well? I'm serious. At work as well. Not that I mind. I'm just venting. I'm like, this person annoyed me. Not this person. I don't like the way that at work. Okay, relax. We'll look into it. I'm not quite sure I should say this one. And, you know, there's this guy at work, and he tells me, oh, his wife is having a baby in a few days. I said, fantastic. You know, just take the paternity thing and all that. He now messages me on WhatsApp. He says, his wife, this is someone at work, not at church. He says, oh, now they're going, his wife has started labor. I said, okay. He gets to the hospital. He said, she's in the labor room. So I'm like, I'm like, is this church? I'm serious. He now says, oh, she's in labor. She's giving birth. And the moment she gave birth, he took a picture of the baby, fresh baby, messages it to me, says, look at my baby, you know, and all that. I said, congratulations. What do I do now? I'm like, you know, make sure your wife is fine, then you guys go home. Isn't that what you should do? You hear me? Then another person messages me. Oh, then there's something like, I'm not like, my goodness, how, not that, I mean, by the way, I don't mind all this. I was like, weight of responsibility. My bosses are saying, oh, this thing has to be done because da 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 da. I'm typing page after page. Do you get what I mean? Weight of responsibility. Then, maybe I'll edit this part out of the video. Why is this pastor venting in church? Shouldn't it just be pretty? I'm just trying to explain that, look, we all need rest. We all need rest. I think, oh, we have strategy for church. We're doing this and next week. We have to do this thing. We have to do this thing. I was doing flyers. We're trying, edit video, do YouTube video, do Instagram video, do flyers, do this thing, do that thing, and all those things. I just said, God, how did I get here? Not that I was complaining. I said, how did I get it? I was now like, man, maybe I should just, I was just thinking of my life pre all this. I was much younger. Man, I could do anything I wanted, just go on holiday, relax, nobody's messaging me and all that. And by the way, I don't mind people messaging me. But, and I was overwhelmed. And I remembered the scripture. I said, God, bring me back to the place of rest. So what I'm saying is that the medicine that I'm recommending to you all, I take that medicine as well. Do you get what I mean? That we bring our place, ourselves back to the place of rest, not by our own effort, but by God's effort. Well, let me not say by God's effort, by God's, what God has done for us already. So I look at the last point. So the first point I made around how do we stay in the place of rest is drawing the line and coming to the place where we're asking God to bring us to the place of trust. The second thing is making the effort to stay in the place of rest with the help of God. And the third one, which is the final one, is where we actually talk to God in prayer and in the study of His Word. So, you know, a long, long time ago, when people used to tell me that, it was years and years ago, that God's Word can actually bring comfort to you, that you can read the Bible and it is as if God Himself is standing by you, speaking to you. It actually works that way. Like, what? I mean, if I can read in the Bible, just, you know, actually does. Talking to God in prayer also helps to bring us to the place of rest. And I'll read two scriptures and we will pray this morning. It says, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests before God or to God. And the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. So God is saying here that if you're finding it a bit difficult to enter into His rest, or there are things that are bothering you, tell Him about it. Tell Him about it. Seriously speaking. And it says, as you make a practice of that, God's peace will guard your heart. So if there's something on your mind, tell God about it. God hears. Tell God about it. And as you and I do that, He promises that His peace
will guard our hearts. Psalm 119, verse 50. Psalm 119, verse 50 says, "Your promise revives me. It comforts me in all my troubles." So here the psalmist was saying that, look, God's promises, when we read the Bible with the view that this is God's word to me, it says it comforts us in all our troubles. Psalm 119, verse 50. Your promises revive me. So God's word can revive you. God's word can bring you comfort as you talk to God as well. So I'm going to end here this morning. So the three things I've focused on this morning around how do we find rest is, number one, asking God to bring you and I to a place of trust, irrespective of what's happening around you and I. Number two, staying in God's rest. That every time you're faced with things that just try and like bother your mind, you ask God to bring you back into his rest so that you're there. And the third one that I just looked at is where you and I talk to God in prayer and we read his word, so that as we do that, it brings a certain kind of supernatural peace to our minds, as the Bible says. This morning, I just want us to pray. I want us to rise up and pray.